Take five. We're gonna talk about musicals and plays, you thespians. Hello! Welcome to Pop and Circumstance,
the podcast that talks about pop culture things like TV and movies
and anime and manga
and books.
And this time, musicals.
And plays.
And plays, yes. And we have back our Broadway, expert, I guess, super fan, Victoria.
A connoisseur of the West End. Well, no, West End
not
is
the West End is
the UK.
Yeah.
But
it's just Broadway. It's
same thing.
Hello. I'm glad to be back. It was too last week.
I know, it was so sad. Apologies for the intro. My inspiration was not here. But we're in here. We're going to have fun. Yeah. Musicals, we're kind of, the way that we're going to kind of talk about it, we're just kind of talk about our favorites and the impact that they have on pop culture. And this can range from actual, like, live theater and live performance to, you know, the movie musical. I think, like, that would be kind of fun to talk about, too.
And plays.
And plays, yes. And plays being... Exist. No, yeah. For, yeah, plays and how they are translated into film sometimes. And also just plays in general. If, you know, play... If you guys don't know, a very, very, very brief summary of performance art is literally everywhere. You know, you could argue that it started off with, you know, the native peoples, you know, in any culture where they told stories of their gods and their royalty and, you know, just pretty much recanting their history. Or is recanting the word? Anyways, they're telling their history, you know, in my culture, hula. Is you could consider that maybe performance art. They do, you know, tell stories. That's the whole point of it, is to tell stories through body and also specifically language. And, you know, you can also see that in, you know, Japanese culture. Kabuki is one of them. That's a really cool thing. And, you know, you got your Greeks, iconic, the Muses and such. Yeah, and that's pretty much it, really. And also the Native Americans. You know, pretty much they're kind of similar to hula. It's very word-heavy, but they also do certain movements also to do rituals and things. And yeah, it's the importance of them are very across cultures. We're going to talk about Western first.
She's Eva.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. You could have just stopped me. You could have just put a hand up. Yeah, I mean,
tried.
Sorry, my bad. I got too into it.
Yeah, so, yeah. But now you know who we are. She's Eva. I'm Emily. And
I'm Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go right on in, Victoria. Educate us.
Where should we start? Like, there's too many
She's
things
so
to talk
giddy about.
About
it.
I love musicals. I used to, pre-COVID, after I graduated high school, we'd go to New York every summer so that I could see what's new, what's popping. And I mean, I don't know. We can talk about like the most popular ones first. Like, you know, what was your first
like your intro?
Play, musical? Yeah. Whatever that you've ever seen. Emily?
Don't ask me that question.
We'll think about it. I don't remember what my first one is. I do remember long ago we took a field trip to go see Pippi Longstocking, which was fine, I guess. But I also saw, I think my very first, like, obsession with a musical was Cats.
There we go.
I loved Cats. I still haven't seen the movie because Victoria refuses to watch it with me, and I don't want to be sad and watch it by myself.
But you love it, so you should just watch it yourself.
Oh, I love Cats so much. I'm not a big fan of actual Cats, but...
Because she's allergic.
I am allergic, yes. But Cats, the musical, is just nonsense, and I love it. And the musical and the music is just, you know, catchy and fun.
Sure.
And me and my cousin would literally dress up as cats and do like a Rocky Horror Picture Show version of, you know, we'd watch the, I think it was like 1991 or 1980 something VHS of Cats playing on the TV, and then me and my cousin would perform it in front of the TV as it's playing.
Oh dear.
It was so much fun.
But now you have Victoria, who will at least educate you on better. Oh, God.
I've grown since then.
You know, I'm just not a fan of, what's his name? Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
I just...
Mr. Webber.
And I actually do...
I do.
Some of my favorite musicals are from him.
I mean, I like the music of Phantom of the Opera. I don't necessarily care for the
actual
the actual musical, yeah. Unless it's the Royal Albert Hall version, because that one's like super good.
It's the best casting.
But I've seen it here, well, like in LA, and it was beyond boring. I saw Evita, hated it.
Evita's very just. It's a long one.
Yeah, isn't it just it's, politics?
It's, yeah. Well, and yeah, I don't. It's not my cup of tea. And also, I got there like 10 minutes late. Which has never happened to me before in my life and never has happened again. Just gonna put that out there because it's rude.
It is rude, yeah.
But no, I was like, excuse me.
I know, it felt so bad.
You're supposed to, if you show up late, you're not going in until fucking intermission, bitch.
I know. They just like snuck us in real quick, I guess. I know.
Because you weren't that late.
No. Fine. And then, yeah, that was an interest. I don't know, the way it's structured mm-hmm. was not it for me. I mean, they have this, you know, a few songs that slap. Obviously, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. And
that one. I always quote that all the time. I love that one.
So good.
And then the, what is it, Rainbow something?
I don't know. The only reason I know of Evita is because my name is Eva and my dad would, you know, sing and like, you know, Evita and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's it. That's really it.
I guess. I watched that play because they did it at a high school. So I was forced to watch it.
I mean,
I wasn't forced. I watched it to show my support and I was a friend of the person playing.
And then was also your intro to theater. You were like in high school and you were a theater major too.
Yeah, I was like, I've been watching plays and shit since I was in Romeo and Juliet literally in like the first or second grade. Oh, like, Gina. Come on. Like, that's why when you said, what was your first one? I was like, bitch. I was like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
We really can't do that.
I remember I went to go see A Midsummer Night's Dream with my dad and one of my sisters. Mm-hmm. And
I love that play, first of all.
It's fun. I think it's probably, in my opinion, Shakespeare's most exciting and entertaining play. Mm-hmm. And then we also saw Romeo and Juliet, because my dad, I guess, had like a season pass for the local Shakespearean troupe.
Yep.
And I remember my sister at the time, we were watching, it was the end of Romeo and Juliet where Juliet's doing her final monologue. And Sophia's my little sister, she leans over to my dad and is like, she's crazy. And my dad leans back to her and says, she's 13.
We've discussed before, at that age, everything is a big deal. So, yeah, your true love is your true love. Like, it's, I would die for him. Like,
I'd like, die for Riley.
Yeah, I was like, that's like, it's like an inside out. Yeah. I was like, I'd die for Riley. same shit. Yeah, no. With musicals, my favorite, West Side Story.
Mm, that one's fun. I like that one.
I love West Side Story. It's just so much fun. There's so much culture, even though it's usually played by white people. And yeah. But for the, obviously, the Latin side of the group, because what's Tony?
Sharks?
The Sharks and the Jets, right?
Yes.
No. Yeah? Okay.
I think the Sharks are the
white people, right?
Oh, no, that was the Jets.
Okay.
Look, it's been a while. And then always Sharks and the Jets now remind me of Bring It On. I'm just like...
Not seen that movie. I apologize.
Oh, that's the third one. It's not even the first one.
Okay.
But yeah, no. I think that's not like my favorite musical. I just really enjoy like the first ones I've ever seen.
Yeah.
West Side Story is always fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. What other ones?
The first one I saw was Wicked.
Wicked?
Started off with a bang.
That's a classic.
It's so good.
They just have ballads after ballads after ballads.
That's probably one of the like hardest musicals, right, to like be a singer for.
I'm sure.
That's insane.
That's why it's Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel.
She's an interesting performer.
Which one?
Idina?
Yes, because I saw her live here.
Yes.
In I can't even remember what play she was in. She like had come back to Broadway and they like wrote this like whole musical just for her. And she's like good when she's good. She's like fantastic. But like when she's like slightly off, it's like any other performer.
Is it?
Like no shade to her. And I'm sure because like, you know, they expect her to be doing like all the stuff that she's like normally does. Because it came out right after Frozen came out. And you know, like Let It Go was like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure it's hard doing that all the time, but it was just very like interesting to see, to hear, and like experience it all. Mm-hmm. But, like, she is a good performer, though.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, anyone who's, like, a Broadway performer on our end or on, like, the West End, mm-hmm. those baby angels deserve so much more credit because, like,
yeah.
vocal rest for them, you're fucked because you're performing non-existent. At least, like,
yeah.
Because every day is a performance, obviously, and then some days you have matinees.
Yeah, and you have two. So you do about 8 a week.
Yeah, so I'm like, you're performing nonstop mm-hmm. all the time. Yes, there are some times where they can substitute you out, but for the most part, if you're the headliner, you're not leaving. Mm-hmm. Like, you're there. Yeah. And then what they'll do is just have you not talk the whole day to preserve your mm-hmm. voice. And then I'm just like, and they're just like, drink a lot of tea. And you're just like, bruh, the amount of care you have to take for yeah. your voice. Even like in the movie Pitch Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
The notes. Like that whole thing. Like, that's for a singer, like with, even like with normal performers, like normal
Adele,
singers,
right?
Yeah, like, yes, they can have a little bit more finagle room mm-hmm. than a like a Broadway star because sure, yeah. that production is relying on
yeah,
them
yeah.
and then they deserve much more credit.
I would never people, want to be like,
oh sorry
no I mean I would never want to be a live actor because that sounds so difficult.
I'd say people, like, if you don't take care of your voice, like, they destroy their voice.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, there's
their careers, if you don't take care of yourself, will not last long.
Yeah,
even like normal singers mm-hmm. nowadays, like, there are pictures of, like, male singers, if you can see their veins popping out, like, if you don't take care of that, you're going to hurt yourself, which oh I'm, God. Like, super interested to see, like, Shawn Mendes's documentary, because there's like, a clip in the trailer where they're, like, you're hurting yourself, and if you don't stop this, you will, like, this is it, like, you're done. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, it's because you're straining your voice. Mm-hmm. You're, like, you're doing, like, power belts or whatever you're doing all the time, and you're hurting yourself. Like, if you're, because in guys, you can see it more than in girls, mm-hmm. where, like, the veins start to, like, pop out here. Oh, God, I'm like, bro, pull it back.
Stick it in there. Stick it in there.
You're just, like, you're putting too much, not putting too much emphasis, but you're straining your vocal cords mm-hmm. a little bit too much. Rein it back in.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes that's what you need to do because that's the only way you can hit that note. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can do this. That's why, like, vocal training and all that stuff. She a bitch.
Yeah.
I sat in because I cannot sing.
Yeah.
No. So I went to an art school and you're required to, like, audition for every...
Oh, really?
For every, like, thing.
Huh.
So my senior year, I was like, fuck no, I'm not auditioning for the musical. So I was like, I will assistant direct because I'm not going to sing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. And it was a little shop. And then I got to sit there and watch everybody's, like, audition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you can tell who's a good singer and who's not. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a singer, you're like, yeah, you can't carry a tune to save your life. Or, oh, yeah, you can probably finagle your way out of this. But, like, sitting there even with their, like, when they had to do vocal rehearsals, I was like, this is a whole different ballgame, y'all. You gotta, like, play with the piano and keep mm-hmm. the tune. And I'm like, nope. I can play the piano, but I cannot sing with that. I can't do it. I don't know how y'all do it. No. I will just sing in my car.
Yeah.
Is it better?
Maybe. Yeah, one of my other sisters, she was a thespian in high school, like, and, I mean, I could be biased, I think she's extremely funny, yeah. and I think she is a good actor, but whatever. and she also, she, because as she was, you know, nearing the end of her high school career, and she really wanted to become an actress. I think she still does. But she realized that doing plays, specifically plays, non-musical plays, is extremely difficult, especially to make it as a career.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, shoot. Like, she's like, I don't really want to do musicals, but if I want to do this as a career, I should probably get some singing, you know, lessons. And so she did. And so I went to her one and only recital. And again, I could be very biased. I thought she was one of the best ones. I mean, she doesn't have like a great, like a super great singing voice. Like, you know.
Like, it's not stronger one.
Like, it's not like... Like, I don't think she'll get, like, records. She's not, like, a, you know...
She's not an Adele.
She's not an mm-hmm. Adele. She's not an Ariana Grande, you know? But she can hold a tune.
Okay.
I think she's good for stage. And what I've noticed that... I mean, again, well, these are all...
Well, hold on. Well, when you say good for stage...
Well...
there's a big difference because Broadway stars still got to be able to sing.
No, yeah, true. But like it in like a, you know.
You can get by with talk singing. You can. Because that's low key, no tea, no shade to Lin-Manuel Miranda. But that's how that man has made a career. Yes. It's talk singing.
He lies. No, okay.
Sorry. But, you know.
I mean, like she is, you know, she can hold a tune.
Would she be a lead character or would she be in the forest?
Do you think? I thought you said in the forest. I was like, are we casting for like Into the Woods?
She's just a tree. No, I think she could be, just by acting wise, yeah. I think she could be a lead.
Yeah.
Singing wise, I don't think she'd be like an Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
But like,
well, Idina Menzel, first of all, is in her own category based on like other Broadway actresses in general.
No, yeah, but and then also
it's like her and Kristen Chenoweth, they literally
they're
in their own world.
Yeah, but then again, also Raquel only took one singing lesson.
Oh yeah,
and so I'm sure if she wanted more training,
yeah,
she would be fine. I think she would do well. But again, it is not a stable job. It is not a easy career to follow.
Especially like right now.
I was gonna say, especially right now with COVID.
Heck yeah.
A lot of them just, they're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
I wonder how it's gonna like come back.
Yeah.
I have no idea because live theater requires an audience and reduced capacity with live theater isn't worth it because of how much your production is worth.
True.
Because trust me, even like putting on like high school productions, that shit cost a lot of money, but that's what our school did, so it was whatever. Yeah. But it still costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's I would not put my nose up to even a middle school play. Like it takes a lot of stuff to make a decent, maybe even not even a good play.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a lot of work.
I've done elementary school plays, I've done middle school plays, I've done high school. It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
they've all gotten better because like the the level of care, obviously, and also money.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Victoria. Why do you like musicals specifically? Like, what does it do to you? Like, why?
It's the serotonin. No, I don't know. I just think it's more fun. No shade to plays.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Plays typically are, like, slightly more serious. I mean, obviously, there's, like, a good handful of, like, comedic plays out there. And, like, great. I just really like music. I listen to music like 24/7. I'm at work listening to music like at night, whatever, all the time. So I mean, I just enjoy it more, and also it's like, I don't know, just more fun to me.
Yeah, it's an experience.
Yeah, and then I really love like listening to people sing. And I really like it, especially in Broadway, because they like make it a point to like showcase their voices. And they're like, well, look what she can do here in this song. And it's just like literally the prettiest thing I've ever heard. Right. So it's just like, I don't know. I just love that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can draw inspiration from literally anything and make Cats, you know, like, and there's a play right there, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I just tend to enjoy it more. I've not seen a good amount of plays at all. I've seen A Christmas Carol when I was in 7th grade and...
The 1984.
A few years ago on Broadway, which scared the shit out of me. That scared the shit out of me. But that was, I mean, even though I hated it, like, the experience of it, I mean, that probably goes to show, like, how good it was, because you go in, right, and everything is, like, what's the word? Like, sad. It's, like, there's...
Oh,
it's,
dismal.
Yeah. Like, it's just dreary. Really depressing, right? Yeah. And so then they have, you know, like, they play the whole story out, and it's all on the stage and whatnot. And then, you know, like, when they get captured, I think, at the end, and then they take them to some torture chamber, what have you. It's, like, everything is all white. It's, like... glaringly white, and it's like made to make you feel like so uncomfortable. So I was like, they did so well that I like hated it so much. So I mean, like, I'm sure plays are like also like stand toe in toe with like musicals. It's just personally not my cup of tea.
I also think like musicals are just easier to digest for people because like the music keeps you entertained.
True.
You don't feel the length
as
much as you do with a play.
Yeah.
Because if it is a slog fest, you are going to feel the length more with a play than you would with a musical. Because if the music is kind of boring with a musical, like
that's true.
You'll still feel it, but it's not as much. You're just kind of like, okay, it's only three more songs until intermission. intermission.
Yeah.
And then it'll just go by faster. But, like, if it's a play and you're like, oh, okay, it's three more scenes, you don't know if that's...
You're like...
20 minutes or, like, 10. You yeah. really don't know. Because no, you're yeah. like, yeah. how long is it going to be? Because, like, Hamlet? Fuck. Yo. How long is it going to take?
Yeah. I actually watched a movie recording of Hamlet performed by Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh. He was actually really great. I was like, oh, what a... I just knew him as a Tumblr meme. And then I saw this and I was like, oh, he's genuinely actually a good actor.
Oh, no, he's a great actor. Yeah. But, like, for me, if I want to ingest Hamlet, I'll just watch The Lion King.
Yeah.
And then, she doesn't like The Lion King.
I know. I never said... I said I don't...
Controversial statements
I said happening. I don't really care Why for The Lion King.
Is it because it's Hamlet?
I think it's fine. I think it's overrated. That is my...
Just say you don't like to have fun.
I was gonna say, you don't like to have... They made Hamlet a musical!
But, however, comma, I think the Lion King Broadway performance is one of the best. It is literally one of the best, one of my favorite Broadway shows ever. Like, every time I watch the opening scene, I cry. It is gorgeous. It is stunning. It is amazing. Just thinking about it, I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
I don't hate The Lion King. I just think the movie is kind of overrated. But going back to...
Those are fighting words.
Changing the subject.
And I will fight you on that later.
Later in the parking lot. Here in your driveway.
Fight.
Star.
Going back to your length, you know, comment, I felt that when I watched the movie Fences with Denzel Washington and Viola Davis. I didn't, because when I watched them, I watched the movie first.
Yeah.
And I was like, there is a lot of talking and not a lot of action.
Yes.
And this is one of those movies where you really have to pay attention to what they're saying, because it's kind of like exposition the movie until the end. And then I was like, I think mid-movie, I was just like, why is it like this? And I was like, is it a play? And so I looked it up and it was a play first. And I was like, that makes so much sense. Because the setting is only at their house, essentially.
Well, yeah. And it's like Raisin in the Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just talk about stuff that happens outside of the house. And then all the stuff that happens outside of the house is brought into this. And pretty much the central core of this story is people leaving and then coming into the house. I actually liked it. But if you are a person who cannot pay attention or sit still to a lull kind of thing, this movie is not for you.
Yeah. It's like when I did the play Our Town. Oh,
God. I had to read Our Town.
I was a chorus member, so...
It is a lot.
Yeah, so I was like, I was just watching my friends act the whole time, but I was still like, bro, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. I was like, how many times do I gotta hear this?
The thing about plays that I have noticed is that, I mean, this is on purpose.
Yeah.
It's very dialogue heavy, and they do kind of a lot of tell, not showing. Sometimes. There are exceptions to this rule. One of my favorite plays, actually, is... I think it's just because I watched it so many times, and every time I watched it, it was very good. Had great performers. Was A Streetcar Named Desire. I think that one is so interesting. I loved Marlon Brando's movie version.
Okay.
I thought that was great.
It's the only one I've seen.
It's really good. And then I also watched the one with Alec Baldwin. Not as good, but still a good performance.
Okay.
And then I also watched a high school performance at my school. And this guy, I don't remember his name. I think his name is like Brandon. And he played, what's his name? Is it Stanley? Stanley?
I'm gonna be honest, I've only seen it.
I don't remember. I think...
Just know the girl's name is Stella.
Stella! Stella Blanche. I'm gonna say Stanley. I'm gonna say his name is Stanley.
Sure.
He played him. Oh, he was such a good actor, this kid. And I was like blown away. Even though it was a high school performance, for a high schooler, he did a great job.
Yeah.
And what I like about that play is
Stanley.
Oh, Stanley. Okay, cool. What I like about that play is that it, even though it is very dialogue heavy, it has its moments. A lot of the stuff they're saying, you're like, oh. And then who Can you look up who made A Streetcar Named Desire? Is it Tennessee?
Tennessee Williams.
It's Tennessee Williams. He is such an interesting person. His life, so interesting. I think, allegedly,
he's gay.
He's gay. And even his other play, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Oh, that one is also good. Just Tennessee Williams and him being gay, or allegedly.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the undertones, if you, you know, put a gay lens on all of his plays, oh, it's so much juicier. Especially, especially Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, the movie version with Elizabeth Taylor. Hot as hell.
Oh my God, she's so
beautiful. She's so... Newman. God.
It's gorgeous.
And that one's so interesting, because if you guys don't know about that play, this husband, his friend dies, and he becomes basically depressed. So depressed that he won't have sex with his wife. And the whole play is just about how his wife is trying to get him to have sex with her. And also the whole family, like his family is trying to also get him out of this funk, saying, bro, he's dead, go have sex with your wife, and a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of people are saying, oh, his best friend was actually his lover.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously he's depressed because his lover died.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, he, quote unquote, gets over it. And then they bang. That's it. But it's such an... I feel like Tennessee Williams' stuff is so interesting. There's a lot of undertones to... A lot of depth to his stuff. And I really like his stuff. I think he would be one of my top playwrights. I think he's very interesting. Yes.
I have a play recommendation.
Okay.
It's called Indecent. It is about... It was on Broadway a few years ago. And it was like really, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a play that involves music. So it's not like a musical.
Okay.
And it's about kind of like Nazis.
Oh, okay.
A little bit, if I'm remembering correctly. So it's just like it's told in like a few different eras,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same story like played out. So the premise is you meet these like five people, and they are an acting group, right? And so then they tell the story of this story being made. And then they also acted out in the different times in which it was made. So it's, like, made in, like, the very early 1900s, I think. And so then they act, like, part of it there, and then they act another part of it, like, later until it meets up at, like, the end of World War II, where they're, like, in the ghetto. Anyway, it's really, really good. Like, I just don't want to talk about what happens in it, mm-hmm. because it's, like, super good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like, one of the only times I've, like, it's... probably one of my favorite performances ever. It's on PBS, so okay. You can, like, watch it. Fantastic. Like, when I tell you I cried, like, so much, I just don't want to, like, give away anything about it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, gorgeous. Musically, amazing. And then the acting of it all, oh, so talented. Mm-hmm. I think you would really like it.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a little bit of gays, but that...
Oh, okay.
That's just... A little
sprinkles on that.
Yeah, but anyway, that's my favorite play. I've not seen many. I told you of some. I've seen like three, but fantastic. I love that one. It was running for a limited time on Broadway in like 2018, I think. And then it closed right before the Tonys.
Mm.
And then it was so popular and it was so good and it won so many Tonys, or it won like a handful of like really important Tonys, that they actually like were like, oh, wait a second. And they extended the run another couple months, which like never happens. Like they literally had like the closing sign like on the when you
yeah
so like they had like the closing sign like on the door of mm-hmm. the theater, and they were like, oh, let me just take that back, because it was like so popular. But I think maybe like anyway, I think we should all watch that.
Okay, I'm
it's
down.
So good.
Yeah, there's a couple of plays, and then also, like, because I went to an art high school and I was a theater major, I had to watch a lot of Black Boxes. Maine is a very popular one.
What's a Black Box?
A black box is like just a smaller production.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Black Box Theater is basically a lot of the off-Broadway plays that would be a black box most of the time. It's just a smaller crowd. It's more intimate.
Okay. It's literally a black boxed room.
Yeah. Very minimal mm-hmm. set designs and things like that, because they ain't much space, because like literally the shows only run for a limited time and then they tear it down and mm-hmm. build a new one. But Almost Maine is a very popular one. That one's literally just, it's kind of like Love Actually.
Okay.
But all set in Maine.
Okay.
That one's cute. There's just like cute little love stories that all the people. And I was like, ah, yes. And it's all during Christmas time. And I'm just like, ah, yes.
You and Victoria would have a great time watching that. I think I'd have fun, but.
It's fun. Even like when you watch like high schoolers play it, even though like I've seen many high schoolers do it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? It's still cute every single time. Yeah. I still enjoy it every single time. Even though at one point, though, I was like, all right, gotta get past this. Somebody's gotta do another show. There's plenty. I loved, because, like, we had to go to a Southeastern Theater Conference. It's called SETC. And you would perform for colleges. And then we'd be like, here's money. Come to my school. Basically. And then, but they had these, like, rooms where you could buy a whole bunch of, like, plays and stuff like that. So that was always fun. That's what I was like. There's plenty of plays there's, out there that are not...
There's so many off-Broadway stuff and, like, really good stuff.
With musicals, oh, God, I love musicals. Yeah. I do enjoy musicals a lot.
I'm gonna, sorry, just real quick, controversial statement. I like jukebox musicals. I think they're fun. Those are like...
It's like a poppy...
It's musicals that come from music that's already made.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, is that...
Like Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Prime example.
I was going to say, so it's like Mamma Mia or Moulin Rouge, or technically, would you say Rocketman is one of those?
Like literally anyone that comes from... Yeah. So like there's a lot of...
Universe.
Yeah. There's a lot of like... what are they called? Like,
but they're jukebox musicals.
A lot of them. There's
because there's not a lot of Broadway shows besides like Mamma Mia.
There's actually quite a few right now.
Oh, there's actually a few.
Right now, it's like a very popular thing because for some reason, everybody's saying that, you know, Broadway's kind of lost its creativity in bringing forth new musicals and stuff. So they have...
look, it's hard to write music.
Yeah. So they have like one called Ain't Too Proud based off the music of The Temptations, one about Tina Turner's life. They had one about Donna Summer a few years ago that I had seen.
Oh, the Jersey Boys.
Exactly. Jagged Little Pill, the one...
Alanis Morissette, heck yeah. Love that.
And then, like, you know, Mamma Mia, and just like that. Mm-hmm. I think they're fun, though. You know, people who are, like true, like, theater snobs, I would say. They're very, like, oh, that's very, like, unoriginal, and it's just taking off of stuff.
But I think... It takes a certain level of ingenuity to do that, because you have to be creative enough to take their music
and
put it into a story, because like that's why, like, to put it in the movie versions, Bohemian Rhapsody versus Rocketman, why the two are different, and why I think Rocketman works better than Bohemian Rhapsody is because Bohemian Rhapsody was just like, this is how we wrote the songs, here's the song. And then Rocketman was like, here's the story. The songs are intertwined into the story.
I see. Okay. Because, like,
they really did meld the songs into the story. And then, because, like, they literally, how they wrote it was they interviewed, obviously, like, Elton was very involved in the movie, but they interviewed Elton and then, I forgot his best friend's name.
Benny.
I was like, Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
They interviewed the two of them. They would hear what they would say and how they described how certain songs, like, came to be. And they were like, oh, shit, really? That's how? And they were like, because for the scene where they did, everybody was, like, elevating. At the troubadour. They were like, fuck. And then that's how they brought that song into the movie and everything like that. I'm like, genius. To actually, because I'm like, I don't like it when it's just, this is how we do it. And this is how it came to be. I'm like, that's just
a lot of,
make a documentary. Then at that point, that's not a movie. That's not, it's not as captivating as if you did it like a Mamma Mia. Like if you made it part of the story.
I was going to say, like, Mamma Mia is like a little bit different to most jukebox musicals because they like actually created a story out of it. Whereas, like, a lot of other ones, like, a lot of the ones that I named, kind of go through, like, the life of, which is also not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's not as fun.
It is not as fun. That's also, Mamma Mia is just fantastic. Just gonna put that out there. I've been a lifelong ABBA fan. So, but yeah.
She does go hard for ABBA.
I do. They slap.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have not seen Moulin Rouge yet, right?
I have not.
Okay, so Moulin Rouge.
I know they use songs, though.
They do, yeah. But the thing, Moulin Rouge as a jukebox musical, how you said Mamma Mia and, you know, Rocket Man, they make a story out of it. I feel like Moulin Rouge, they have their story laid out. This is how I assume, how I theorize they did this. They have their whole story laid out, and then they're like, what pop song of the early 2000s would fit this emotion right now.
Okay.
Which works, because I mean, I like Moulin Rouge. I think it's fun. Roxanne, one of my favorite. I don't even know. Is that an original song? I have no idea.
The only reason I know that song is because of the very, very fantastic...
Oh.
The ice skating. The, you know? The Tessa and... What's the guy's name? They're freaking Canadian.
Oh,
people.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yes,
my God. So beautiful.
The most sensual.
I went so hard for that.
Rocks. Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite scenes in a musical because it's just so emotional. Okay. And I get very stressed. I get very stressed. And the guy who sang it, he went off.
Yeah.
He was just like...
He did go off.
He was just like, I'm going to make this... You know, edgy, sexy, you know, depressing, and also just like, oh man, so good. I don't know. For me, when my favorite musicals, I like the showman of it. I like the drama. So my two favorite musicals of all time, I can't put one over the other because if I try, I'm like, but wait, this other one. Mm-hmm. And so I go back and forth, is The King and I, which I would argue is probably my first movie musical obsession, even though it was a Broadway musical first.
Yeah.
Because the movie itself.
That's one of the ones that does it really good. That does it really right. Like a movie musical.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the costumes, just the, and then I also watched, they were doing a Broadway performance thing on PBS.
PBS is, somebody just put this out here. PBS is like the place to go, by the way, like if you want to watch musicals and stuff, because they always have a bunch of, like the Lincoln Center records a lot of it for PBS.
Mm-hmm.
Bomb.
Yeah.
Continue.
And so when I was watching it with Victoria was like, oh, like, this is probably one of the guy who, is it a set director? The set director, or is it just the director of the musical that always does the elaborate?
Oh, it's like the director.
The director does all these elaborate, very dramatic scenes. Mm-hmm. And set design. I watched it. I was like, this is phenomenal. And the costumes, my God.
That was the first musical. The first thing I ever saw on Broadway was The King and I.
Mm-hmm. And because in the movie, I have this grand, you know, vision of it. Because the movie, obviously, it's a Hollywood movie. They have all this money.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like the 50s, which is like...
Oh, it has Brian, that Gaussian like, blur, you know, and the chemistry and the chemistry between the king and Anna is palpable. Like, you could feel that shit. And then when I watched the Broadway thing, it was evenly matched, I would say.
What's
except for the guy who played the little prince.
Oh, yeah.
He took me out of it, but...
Who's the second one?
Oh, my second one is Singing in the Rain.
Ah.
Oh, I absolutely adore Singing in the Rain. I also think it's because I have a love for 20s, you know, roaring 20s aesthetics and art deco, whatever. And that movie is just the best of the 20s when it comes to costumes, colors, and, you know, just fun.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun. Singing in the Rain is just a lot of fun. There's a bunch of parts in the movie that don't need to be there. It is a waste of time, essentially, but it's fun. You're just having a good time. And that's why I love it so much. It's great.
No, for sure. So I've only seen two actual Broadway musicals on actual Broadway.
Hmm.
I've seen others like off, like, or when they've toured for
them.
But so one was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Ooh, with who?
With Daniel Radcliffe.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
He's actually phenomenal.
They had a stacked cast every time they did that one.
So he was when they first brought the show back to Broadway. And then my family was like, yeah, let's go fucking watch it. And I was like, yeah, let's fucking do it. Like, I would love to see Daniel Radcliffe do something that's not Harry Potter. Let's fucking go. And it was so much fun too, because like he so short compared to everybody else that was a part of that.
It's a small man.
That's that cast.
Yeah.
But theirs, because one, it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so much fun to just watch what they were doing. And then their dance scenes were so elaborate that I was like, bruh, I just can't help but be invested in what they're doing. Even though I had no idea what the fucking thing was about. I was just like, you know what? I'm here for it. I'm fucking here for it. They have a song called Coffee Break, and I would die for that. It's so much fun. Because they just freak out because they're out of coffee.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen that one, I think. Yeah. I think they performed it at a Tony one time or something.
So good. And then the other one, same year, was Adam's Family's.
I love Adam's Family.
That one I saw with Brooke Shields.
It was so fun.
It's just a fun musical. See, I like to watch fun musicals.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm so down to watch a good time.
Don't think about it too much.
Yeah, like, I'm not here for super depressing musicals. I'd rather just be there for a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's me.
I like all kinds.
I was like, I'll watch it.
Yeah. I've seen a good amount of probably, 25 shows on Broadway, I think. But that's just because that's my thing. Like, I like to do that. Mm-hmm. But there's some that I, like, go in knowing I'm going to watch. Like, I buy my tickets ahead of time and stuff. And then they have a ticket booth in the middle of Times Square.
Yeah.
Where you just go buy it for that same day. And that one, I let the musical tell me which one I'm going to watch. I go and I'm like, oh, that one looks good. And some of the best shows that I've seen are just ones that I picked, like, on the fly. Like, I saw Fiddler on the Roof. Fantastic. Mm. I'd never seen it before. I didn't know what it was about, really.
Did you not know that it inspired to Gwen Stefani?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I knew that.
Hollaback Girl?
Rich Girl. Yeah.
Damn it. I was like, fuck, wrong one.
Yeah. So that one, fantastic. Like, that was, like, one of my favorite ones that I had seen that year. Mm-hmm. I saw one called Once on This Island. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think I told you it's, like, probably one of my favorite musicals that I've ever seen. And it just so happened that one of the last seats I had left was the front row. Because the way it was, I forgot what kind of theater it's called, where it's, like, a circle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it's, like, everyone is sitting all around. So you, like, see it from all different kinds of angles, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's on an island, so, like, the whole stage is sand. And they built this little lake. Mm. And they had live animals and stuff. So it was, like, really interesting. Phenomenal. I loved it. And then what was the last one that I had seen that was, like, so good? Fun Home. Allison Bechdel.
Like the Bechdel test?
Yes.
Oh.
Allison. She's a lesbian cartoonist.
Yeah.
It tells a story about how her family, when she was younger, they owned a funeral home. And it basically tells a story of, like, her and her dad growing up together. And they're both gay. Not growing up together, but, like, living together. And they're both gay.
Yeah.
Her dad's a closeted gay because he's married to the mom.
Yeah.
And then he ends up killing himself. So it's just, like, it's her at three different stages in her life. She's a child. She's a teenager, and then she's, like, her fully grown self.
Yeah.
So it's, like, her looking back on the events and, like, kind of coming to terms with all of it. So good. I think the year that it was out, it won, like, so many Tonys, and it was nominated for practically everything. It was fantastic, like, amazing. Yeah, so, like, I mean, I just kind of go for whatever. But my favorite one is, again, like, the most obscure one, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, which is, like, a musical adaptation of, like, the first beginning chapters of War and Peace. Yeah, which is so, I mean, the story, like, I honestly couldn't tell you what it's about because it's a lot, and there's, like, so many characters. But it's, like, so you walk into the theater, and immediately it's, like, you're in some underground Russian club in the 80s. And it's, like, you walk through, and then you go to, like, where the stage is. So they completely modified the stage so that it's at three different levels, and that you can sit in the stage.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, your regular seats as well. And they have separate little stages just around. So it's, like, interactive. And so before the show, they come around, like, the actors themselves, like, come around, they give you, like, little things. So I got this tiny little egg shaker. And you're supposed to, like, shake it, you know, along with them, kind of like a maraca. Or they'll give you, like, food, they'll give you props and stuff so that you are, like,
part of the show.
Exactly. And then it's just so interesting because, like, it's, like, upbeat but also kind of, like, depressing because it is, like, during some Russian war.
Yeah.
And then there's this one scene where you're, like, genuinely at a club that, like, all the lights go out and then, like, some things descend from the ceiling and it's, like, neon lights and they're, like, they have, like, a flashing alert to let you know, like, if yeah, there we go, exactly.
Okay.
Before you go in, so that you know, like, it's gonna be like that. But truly, one of the funnest times I ever had, and one of the things that they tell you, they're doing like a toast, right? And they're so, like, raise your glass, right? And I didn't have a glass, like, they didn't give me a little glass. So one of the performers, like, literally next to me, like, because I was, like, right next to the stage, she was like, well, you got glasses. I was like, well, she's not wrong. I, like, lifted them up. But yeah, like, that, it was just the experience of that. so fun. And then I like told my friend about it and he was like, I don't know, that doesn't sound very exciting. So I was like, okay, fine. We went to New York and I like made him watch it. It became one of his favorites as well. Like, it's just so good. I like all kinds of shows, but that is just like my favorite one. And then it closed really early because of a scandal, unfortunately.
Oh,
I think I was telling you guys the guy Hercules Mulligan, he was going to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Or he was in it for like a month, and then Mandy Patinkin was like, oh, I want to do it. So then they just like put him in immediately, took the other guy out, and then everybody was like,
what the hell?
And then it was like such a big thing that they were like, okay, we're just going to close the show instead. And they just closed it. No warning.
Wild. You know, Broadway.
I was about to say, Broadway politics is, she's a lot.
Yes.
And then I know you love Sutton Foster. And she's going to be in The Music Man, which is like a classic Broadway show whenever Broadway reopens with Hugh Jackman. I want to go.
Catch me there.
Immediately. I want to go so bad.
Sutton Foster is a queen, she deserves to be protected at all costs.
I want to her see ex-husband,
even though they're still best friends,
Christian Borle.
Yes, also an angel and needs to be protected at all costs.
Very rare.
Yeah. Well, it's because I know they're still friends because he appeared on Younger. And I was like, aha, so you're still friends.
Yeah. I love her. I'm so excited. Like, I mean, there's a lot of musicals, obviously, that you go to for the name.
Mm-hmm.
Like the person that's in it, or, you know, if it's like a really popular, like a revival of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just like really obscure, like original ideas. And those ones tend to do really good. Like the Book of Mormon, for example, is one of like the most expensive seats on Broadway because it's so popular still. Mm-hmm. 10 years later.
Same with like Wicked.
Yep, yeah. Wicked, exactly. Like those ones do really well. Chicago. Well, that one is a revival of the first one that came out in the 70s. But still, like that's it's like those
Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. Mm-hmm.
Those are like Broadway staples that like almost never. Hamilton,
yeah.
Completely new. Like, and then they have, you know, other ones that come and go.
Yeah. If you go, like, so there's the main strip on Broadway, and then there's the still on Broadway, but just like a little bit further down. Those shows are also really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those, I don't remember which street it was, exactly like which intersection the Addams Family was on, but they were on like a further down.
Yeah, they have like Broadway, which is like the main street, and then they have like, it ranges, I think, from like 52nd Street, which is where the Lincoln Center is, which is that's typically where they do like the really big fancy, like The King and I, and then it goes all the way down, I think, to like 41st or 42nd Street, and then they just like literally you'll just be walking, you're like, oh, there's a Broadway theater, and you see Broadway actors like all the fucking time.
Because they gotta go to work.
Exactly. Yeah. I was walking to fucking Central Park one day, and then I saw The Phantom from the Royal Albert Hall.
Ramin Kalu or something like that.
Gorgeous man. And he was just walking towards me and I was like...
Arguably, I would say he is the best Phantom. His voice is like silk. Fantastic. So good. Ramin Kamerlu or something like that. I can't pronounce his name.
So we talked about Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about movie musicals.
True.
I love that's kind of, I feel like that's my thing. I really love movie musicals because, I mean, I think it started with The King and I.
Yeah.
And then Singing in the Rain, Sound of Music, even though, again.
Yeah, those are mostly like Rodgers and Hammerstein that you name. Well, not the Sound of Music, I mean, not Singing in the Rain, but like.
Rodgers and, and then I think he also did, what is it called? It's in Hawaii.
South Pacific. It's not in Hawaii.
Oh, it's not? Where are they?
In the South Pacific, but not Hawaii.
Okay. And
just to assume Eva.
Carousel. Yeah. Okay. They're like all of the big hits from them.
Yeah. Oh, Brandy's version of Cinderella.
The good. Also.
The one.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yeah. So the best Cinderella. By far, I think that is my favorite Cinderella. The 1999 with Brandy and, what's her name?
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston and
Whoopi Goldberg.
Literally a stacked cast.
I forgot his name, but I know his face.
Is it the older man?
Yeah.
Victor Garber?
There we go.
Yeah.
I was like, the one that he's married, that Whoopi's married to.
Yeah. I saw him in Hello Dolly on Broadway.
He's phenomenal. He's just a good man.
He's a good charismatic person.
A fun gay
to,
man.
To like watch. He's gay?
I think he's gay.
I'm sure love
he's
that
gay.
For him.
Like 99% sure he's gay.
At the same time, we're like, what?
I'm like almost like 100% sure he's a gay man in real life. Because he's in The Flash and that was like a big thing. Like,
okay.
Discussed. Yeah.
No, I mean, you... Emily hasn't seen The Sound of Music yet.
I have not.
I really
it's a long one.
It is very long, but I really think you would like it.
Look, I love Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
And also protect her at
She's
all costs.
Gay.
Yes. Oh, okay, wow. So it was correct.
Julie Andrews, that movie, I remember being very little. I think that might have been one of my first sexual awakenings, that movie.
Julie Andrews?
No.
As a nun?
Hang on. There are two scenes.
I know exactly what scene you're talking about.
There are two scenes in Singing in the Rain. One is...
Sound of Music.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. It's The Sound of Music. Sorry. The Sound of Music. You are 16.
Yeah.
That one, I remember something. The second one is when Julie Andrews and What's-His-Face are
dancing. Captain Von Trapp.
Captain Von Trapp. Yeah. They are dancing out in the courtyard. Oh my gosh. They're dancing out in the courtyard and literally just thinking about it, my heart is like fluttering.
The tension.
And then it makes you hot. They're not doing anything but dancing, but they're the way they look at each other.
I know.
And the Gaussian blur. Oh my lord.
The way they look at each other.
No, it's true.
We will watch it and you will know.
On the day that I don't work, I will for sure.
And it's so good. And I think that movie works so well because A, the music's phenomenal. The music is just fun. Yeah. B, I think the characters are just great. The characters are just fun. Even the kids. The kids are just, they're just kids. There's not a lot of depth to them, but they're cool kids.
They're just meant to be kids.
Yeah. And then you like them. They're just like, oh, these are cute kids.
I think that earlier movie musicals, like made in the 50s, 60s time, are better for the most part than the ones that we have now, but only because they didn't have like a bunch of technology. So they had to make do with what they had. So it's like a hybrid of, yes, a movie, but also like an actual like stage musical, like in one. And it's like so grand. Everything about it is so pretty. I love it all. And, you know, no shade to like movie musicals these days, but one of my favorite musicals of all time, sorry for being a basic bitch, but it's Into the Woods. And the musical is fun and I like the people in it. I'm just not like a really big fan of watching it. First, it's like a little bit boring to me, which is not the case for when I watch it, like I've seen it live many times, and I have the recorded Broadway version from like the mid 80s or something that I like absolutely love. But I don't know, it's just something about it was just not right for me personally. But I don't
know. How do you feel about Agony though?
That's the best part of the movie.
Agony is the only reason why I will watch that whole movie.
Honestly, no, me too. Honestly, same. Because when I first watched the movie, I remember all my friends were like, they're like raving about it. Like, oh, this movie
Into
is
the
so
Woods?
Yeah. All my friends were like, this is so good. And then like, even my friends who I trust their taste in things were, like, saying, this is one of the best things I've ever seen. And I was like, I've never seen this or heard of it before. I watched it. I was like, it really isn't that great. But then I watched the live version with Victoria.
With Seven Foster.
Yeah.
Queen.
And it was so much fun. I was like, this is great. Why? It's the same exact story. Maybe a little bit longer.
It is longer. They cut some of the songs
they
out
do.
Of the,
yeah.
the movie.
But it was so much better live.
Agony Part 2.
There is
that I took out. And I was like, how dare you take out the best fucking part of the actual movie. Screw you.
Yeah.
Chris Pine deserves more. As the best Chris.
The best Chris.
He's all who can sing real pretty well.
He can, yeah.
He can carry a tune.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Blasphemy.
Also, sorry, real quick. Don't think, no offense to Meryl Streep, but I don't think she deserved her Oscar nomination for The Witch in that movie.
No.
Yeah.
She's done better stuff. I mean, I was just going to point out Emily's little notebook. She looks like she has a list.
I do.
I
want to
know what's on that list.
Movie musicals. I literally looked up on Google.
Okay.
Well, no. First, I wrote the ones that I knew off the top of my head, and then I also Googled movie musicals because, first of all, they put Footloose as a movie musical.
I don't think that should count.
That should not count. I literally only brought this up because I was like, what is your opinion on this? Because I was like, yes, it has songs, but that does not mean it's a musical because they don't sing in Footloose.
I feel like it's the same. You could call Baby Driver a musical.
Because I was like, I was like, Footloose and then Flashdance and then...
I've not seen Flashdance.
What's the other one? Dirty Dancing.
Oh,
I was like,
that is not a musical.
No, because I was like, because they're all dancing movies with
That's
music
different,
in them.
Though.
And I was like, that doesn't...
I mean, there are musicals made to showcase dancing, but that is... That, those
but
are not...
Like,
that's not it.
I was like, why was Footloose... Unless... Because they specifically put the one with Julianne Hough.
The newer one?
The newer one. And I was like...
Not the one with Kevin Bacon?
Not the one with Kevin Bacon. So I was like, did I miss something? I haven't seen the remake.
I think she did sing maybe one song.
That doesn't count.
It does not count.
That doesn't count if you just sing one song. No. Because then if we went on that, then Princess Diaries 2, that needs to be considered a musical.
Oh, yeah, because Julie Andrews...
Julie Andrews and Anne Hathaway both sing.
We don't consider Pitch Perfect a musical, do we?
I was going to ask. Do you consider that a musical? Because they also considered it a musical.
For me personally...
I put a question mark next to it.
For me personally, mm-hmm. it's like it's not just them singing to sing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a purpose sometimes to the singing. Like, for example, another movie musical that Anna Kendrick made besides Into the Woods. What's it called?
The Last 5 Years.
The Last 5 Years, right?
Which like is that, fucking sad.
It is so depressing. That one I watched by myself and then, sorry, got really close to the mic. And then it was done and I was like, because one of the opening songs, what's it called? Still Hurting. Like, that hurts. Like, that.
And what's his name from Newsies?
Oh, what's his name? Chris,
also in Supergirl.
Yes.
Also in Supergirl.
Oh. Jeremy Jordan.
There we go. See?
I do know that.
I was just like, I can name what else he's in.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't consider Pitch Perfect a musical, but that's just me personally.
I was like, there's music in it, and they sing songs, yes, but I don't think... That's when I was like, what would be your term for a musical? Because for them, they're not singing to further the plot. They're just singing songs because it's part of the plot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
they're performing. Like, them singing makes sense in their world.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I would consider a musical. If this person randomly burst into song in real life and people didn't look at them funny, that's a musical. Pitch Perfect, they burst into song and people are like, this is what they do.
Yeah.
They burst into song.
About, like, an Enchanted.
Ella Enchanted?
No, Enchanted.
Oh, Enchanted.
Enchanted is a musical.
Oh, yes. I would say that's a musical.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But first of all, a beautiful, beautiful movie.
So much Ben fun. Wyatt said it right when he was like, I watched it 7 times, 3 times to get the details, and another 4 times because it's so good.
I love Enchanted. I would die for Enchanted. Okay, first of all, I would just die for James Marsden. Mm. That's why I also, my other favorite, my like true favorite movie musical is Hairspray.
Hairspray, so good.
It's so much fun, so much vibrancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Personally love it better than the, when they did the TV version, when they started doing those.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
I just love Hairspray.
It's so good.
It's literally just a good time. You listen to Hairspray, you watch Hairspray to have a good time.
And then, great message.
Yeah,
true. Hairspray. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So many positive things in Hairspray. Mm-hmm. There's, like, against fat phobia. Mm-hmm. One
racism?
Yeah, I was like, the very obvious one, racism. Yeah. There's so many, just so good. God, I love it. But, yeah, no, we should all love Hairspray. But James Marsden, if he wasn't the age that he is... When they made that, he definitely would have been Link.
Yeah, yeah.
100% would have been Link.
We're pro Hairspray here.
Yeah.
But he was much older, so he had to be Courtney Collins.
That's
but
totally fine.
He's still iconic.
Yeah.
And I love that man so much.
He's just charming.
I watched a thing on it, like, when all the actors were doing those, like, The Life of Me or whatever,
Variety?
Yeah, I think it's Variety, yeah. And then he talked about Hairspray, and I was just like, oh, yes.
He remembers.
The best thing. Not the best thing he's ever done, but I'm like, yes, one of the best things he ever done.
Yeah,
true.
A nice star on his list.
It is. He should all... You know what? I think he got the role of... I'm either mistaking this for something else, but he got the role of Courtney Collins because... Did The Notebook come out before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, so then it was because Julia Roberts.
Okay.
I was like, well, names are hard. Uh-huh. She saw him while he was talking to the people who were making Hairspray.
Mm.
And then she was like, oh my God, I love you in The Notebook. Oh my God, you're so good. And then he got the role of Hairspray. And I was like, you know what? Thank you, bitch.
That's
thank
so
you because
funny.
Icon. That, him, beautiful, beautiful
Hairspray
in that role.
Is so good.
It's so much fun. I would die for that.
That's your favorite movie musical?
I think so. Yeah, it's just so much fun to me.
That's not The King and I or...
Oh, no, you said it.
I said it. I could list my other favorite movie musicals.
I am very partial to Chicago. I think it is. I mean, as basic as that sounds, it's very popular because it's so fucking good. It's
sexy.
Also, on the train of Chicago.
Yes.
Even though this one doesn't have murder in it. Burlesque. How do you feel about Burlesque?
She's never seen Burlesque. She doesn't want to see it because she's like, it's too much cabaret. And I was like, can you?
Sorry.
Cabaret is a lot of fun.
Come on.
I have cabaret. I truly have no interest in it. And I'm like a Cher stan. I watched
the whole scene. It's great.
I watched Cher had a show on Broadway, like about her life, and I watched it. Like, I love Cher, but I for some reason it just does not call my attention.
I'm just gonna just put it on. Yeah, I'm gonna put it on. Yeah. And watch it. God damn it!
I honestly think so you would at least like it.
Stanley Tucci, like how good?
I love him.
He's in it.
Is he in a movie musical?
Is he in a music? Well, he's in Burlesque, but he's not singing.
Okay. No, he does not sing.
And I feel like he would be a good movie musical person.
I think he would
take it and run with it.
Mm-hmm. He 100% would, and I don't know why he doesn't.
Maybe he doesn't sing.
Let's get on that.
Maybe he doesn't sing.
Stanley Tucci, if you're listening, do musicals.
What else do you have on your
Okay, thing? So I have a whole bunch.
Okay.
Obviously, we have Grease icon.
Oh, I love Grease. It's fun. 40-year-olds playing teenagers.
Although I do love John Travolta back then.
Yeah.
King.
Yeah.
King.
That's a fun
one.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Then we had Into the Woods, which we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Les Mis.
I think I said this before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not for me.
Do you not like it either on Broadway?
I've never seen it on Broadway, but I'm going to be honest, I don't think I would see it on Broadway.
Okay.
That, like, subject matter. Because in high school, for whatever reason, when I took...
Did not care about the French.
I didn't... Like, I just didn't get it. Like, the whole time... You know how there's like, two revolutions,
like, there's two revolutions,
right?
Yes. This is the second one that the music...
Literally, nothing stuck in my head. So, like, it just... It, for some reason, it's just not it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think some of the songs, obviously, like... are gorgeous and pretty and stuff, but also it's like really bleak, not like in a bad way, but like the subject matter of it all is very
depressing.
Bleak.
It's very depressing.
So it's not
musical.
I'm not I wouldn't watch it. Like, if you put it on, I don't think I'd sit there the like 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah,
that's just me though.
I mean I saw it in theaters when it came out. I actually really liked it. This was my first time watching it. I do remember halfway through, I was like, wait, they've been singing this whole time?
Well, yes, that is, yes.
And I can totally see why people wouldn't like that. I totally understand.
They do not speak a word.
And also Hamilton, they do not speak a word.
That's, that one's a little bit different.
They do. Barely.
There's like a sentence or two that's also said.
Okay,
like,
true.
Like, Miss, same with like Into the Woods. There's like a sentence or two. Well,
yeah.
No, Into the Woods.
Well, they have words. A little bit, yeah.
There's more dialogue.
I love it.
No, but I think what attracted, overall, I liked the movie.
Yeah.
I think what attracted me to
Tom
the movie.
Cooper?
Was that the one who played?
He's the director.
Oh, okay. Was that I thought the performances, aside from the other one, Javert. I thought the performances were
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. I think
it
aside
was terrible.
I mean, but his
he's okay.
He's fine. I think all the performances were great. And I loved the cinematography of the movie. I thought it was very grand, and even though it was an ugly subject, I thought the movie was beautiful.
Mm.
And I think that's my whole TLDR for my feelings on the movie. It's beautiful. The music is beautiful. The cinematography is beautiful. The acting is great. So therefore...
I wrote a 10-page paper on Les Mis, on the movie.
Oh, the movie. I was like, the book?
The movie Les Mis, because I had to, I took a film class.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do Les Mis. And then
I did it on The King and I.
I did it while listening to the whole soundtrack, because it takes so long. And my thing is, one, I think, like, the director, Tom, was low-key a genius having them Sing Live while they filmed it.
That was like Anne Hathaway's like resurgence.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah.
And it's the reason why she won that Oscar, and rightfully so, because like she did that live.
That was that one last song she had. Well, not the last song, but like
she's only in it for the first
third
of the movie. Spoiler alert if you didn't know. But like, yeah, you could have seen that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
It's very obvious. Everybody
knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're fine.
It's a revolution.
Yeah. People are dying.
A revolution, not a revelation. Sorry.
People are dying, Kim. Sorry.
But yeah, no, like, God. And then even watching
the freckle man,
Eddie Redmayne.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes he needs to shut his little mouth, but, he said in interviews, he goes, some people will criticize his singing, but like, he's like, sometimes it's hard to sing those songs.
That's true.
Live, mm-hmm. especially like in the conditions that they had to do. Like
that is also true.
What they're doing, trudging along, doing this, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, no, live. That's hard. As you're trying to maintain with an earpiece, keeping you in tune,
I would think,
in pitch, trying to keep doing what you're doing without fucking up, because the moment you fuck up,
you have to start all over again.
That sucks. But I would think that would add to the story, right? Because they're like in this like setting, so like if everything, like, you know, if his
tone
fluctuates
good.
Or whatever,
I thought it was good. Some people are like, he can't sing, and I was like, no, he can sing pretty well. He can sing pretty well. That's why he plays what's his face.
I don't remember his name. Maurice.
Then Ebonine, she's
Samantha Bark.
It's B. It starts with a B.
Yes. Yeah.
She is
so good.
She's the one who played her on the West End. Like, or no, was she on Broadway?
I think it was the West End.
I think it was the West End as well.
She's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, she's great.
She's insane, and I cry listening to her sing. Like, she's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I saw her in Pretty Woman on Broadway, which is not good. Just gonna put that out there. It was like not great, but her singing, like, absolutely fantastic. Like, if you go watch that show, that's what it's for. Amazing.
There's just, although for me, which is why it took me so long to watch Mamma Mia, I do not care for Amanda.
I know.
I really don't. It's just something about her. It's also her singing voice I don't care for. Just the tone. She had kept it in falsetto the whole time, and I'm just like, oh, I don't care.
You're like, just bring it up.
I was like, I don't know why you chose to do that for this musical. But it's fine. It's whatever.
I love Mamma Mia.
But Mamma Mia is fine. Yeah. Fun and fine. Her voice sounds fine. And that one is just lame as well. I was like, girl, shut up.
Oh, that's right. I forgot she is Cosette.
Cosette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is Cosette.
I totally forgot about that.
And then Aaron Tveit. There we go. King. I love him as well.
Can we talk about my dad? One of my dad's crushes, Hugh Jackman.
Let's talk about your dad.
No, one of my dad's.
Talk about Chris. I've never said his name like that. I refuse to call our parents by her name. By their name, sorry.
Hugh Jackman.
He's
a very talented man.
I love him. I think he's a fun guy. No wonder my dad has a huge crush on him.
It's also the reason why, let's move away from Les Mis, The Greatest Showman works.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can... It's not necessarily, like, the best thing in the world.
No, it's not really a great movie, but...
But it's... The songs are fun. The songs are fun. I have a good time.
Literally, my favorite part of the movie is the choreography.
Yeah.
I remember watching it, and I was like, I am exhausted watching this. It kind of reminded me...
The one they do in the bar?
Yeah.
That one's so much fun.
The bar scene, both of them, actually, because there's two scenes in the bar. And then also... the duet he does with his wife in the movie. What's her name?
Michelle Williams.
Yeah, like, I felt like that part of the movie reminded me of the old movies, like, back in the day. I have this image in my mind about this one old actor and then his partner in the movie.
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Yes. Like, it reminded me of that, of them just, you know, this wild choreography, but they look so great doing it.
Speaking of, they're, like, one of the first... like movie musical people, but they're like, their movie musicals are very different from what it evolved into being.
Anyway. True.
Sorry.
No, you're right. And then I think I feel like this movie specifically, which one came first? La La Land or Greatest Showman?
La La Land.
La La Land? La La Land. I've already said that
Never seen it.
And you're fine.
Look, the only movie I care about from What's-His-Face is Whiplash. He loves jazz, but Whiplash is the only one you need to watch.
Damien Chazelle?
Damien Chazelle,
I've already talked about my opinions on La La Land. But I feel like the reason why I love La La Land is the same reasons why I love Singing in the Rain, is because it is grand. It is really colorful. Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Hollywood aesthetic.
That movie just makes me feel really good. I love the music. I think the music is fun. I don't know. That's my opinion.
I know. I'm sorry.
I did have La La Land on here.
I'm just gonna let it go.
No, go for it.
That's your
opinion. You can yell.
I just don't think it was a good musical. I don't think that the songs had any substance to them.
Mm.
I don't think they furthered the plot. Mm. And again, I know it's hard to sing. I don't think they were great singers.
I do think
their dancing was good. Wasn't top shelf though.
Which I'm gonna point out, even though I haven't seen the movie, the dancer of the two of them is Ryan Gosling.
It is Ryan Gosling.
He's an actual dancer. He's been dancing since he was a kid. There are videos of him dancing from childhood. Emma Stone, on the other hand, is not a dancer.
I'm sure she tried.
Well, she's been trained.
Mm-hmm. She did Broadway.
Yeah, and she's been trained.
Yeah.
But she's not a dancer. She's not as coordinated as he is.
I think the story is good. Mm-hmm. If it was the story, no musical, it would have been really good.
That sounds really nice.
Sounds really nice. But I just think
Whiplash is really good. There's no music in there besides the music.
Yeah. I feel if they had done it a movie about music, because he's his whole story, whatever his name is, is about music.
Mm-hmm.
And hers is about acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people would have criticized him for it being literally Whiplash all over again.
Maybe,
which is probably why he was like, you know what?
I mean, he did a solid attempt at a movie musical. I just don't think...
He confused the Oscars.
I just don't think it, was good, in my opinion.
That's fine. I'm not offended by it. I understand.
Rock of Ages? What do you think about that? I think that one's just
trash, but I love it.
Yeah, that one's just fun.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you've never seen it?
They even have the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I was with Tom Cruise and Diego Boneta.
That one is fun. It's not great, but it's fun.
It's kind of dumb, but
it's so dumb.
It's just
so stupid.
It's just a good time. I think it's just a good time. It's just the spectacle of what they do, and you're just you really made this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And I'm actually watching it. I'm having a good
time. I went to go watch it in theaters.
I watched it at home when it was just on the TV, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this.
If you like to have a good time.
Okay. Rocky Horror, obviously.
I just saw it for the first time. Interesting.
It is definitely, I'm going to, again, I already said that if you guys want an in-depth history on Rocky Horror Picture Show, go to Wizard and the Bruiser. They have a great one. What's really cool about Rocky Horror in terms of it as a live performance, so if you go now to a Rocky Horror Picture Show live, it will not be a play or a musical as you expect it to be. They will play the movie on behind them, and then they'll have actors. And sometimes they're not even actors. They're just people who...
Volunteered.
And they come up, and they kind of put on a drag show, essentially. And they copy what's on the thing. And then you, as the audience, interact with them. You know, at the beginning, you do, you have your mistress or your master or whatever, and then they're an MC. And then depending on the venue, the audience can interact and throw things at the actors. It's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, Rocky Horror just started, a huge, cult following.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, a culture.
Yeah.
With it. So if you're all about a good time, usually it's October time when they do it.
Yeah. And then... As when I watched it with Victoria, and I also watched it with Baggio, it was their first time watching this movie. I told them, I was like, this movie just gets weirder and weirder as it goes.
It does.
You just have to invest.
Yeah, I mean, it...
Like with any movie, you just kind of got to let go of...
This one, you have to let go of all your expectations. It's gay as hell, very progressive for its time, super gay. And it just gets weird. I would argue it is a giant metaphor for being gay or, I don't know, not cis, straight white person. Going against what you would consider the proper American lifestyle. This movie is just forget about it. But also it's kind of it's kind of analyzing what it's like to be queer in a very straight world. I think it's fun. It's just a lot of fun.
There's Rent.
I've not seen
Rent. I've never seen Rent. I've only heard the song. And I've heard it's not that good. Exactly.
That's the one. One of the most popular musicals ever, but I've not seen it.
All I know is that it's sad. I have heard it's sad. It's about AIDS and there's some gay people in it. That's literally all I know.
It's almost all gay. Yeah, okay. Well, Idina Menzel. That's where she got her start, I think. Mm-hmm. As a lesbian. Good for her.
And then there's Dreamgirls.
I think I've seen a bit of Dreamgirls. I mean, it's always good.
That one song is...
Oh.
The Power...
Ooh, so good.
Yes. The Power Ballad.
Mm-hmm. I forgot what it's called.
I'm not going, I'm telling you. Something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not going nowhere. And you're not.
So good. That reminds me of the song from The Color Purple. Victoria, you saw The Color Purple, right?
I didn't see The Color Purple. That's like my biggest regret in life. It was...
Way to rub that in, Eva. Oh, sorry.
I thought you saw it.
No, I was there while it was on Broadway. And then I don't regret watching Fiddler on the Roof because I thought it was phenomenal. I had a great time. But I chose it over watching The Color Purple because the only thing that I remember from The Color Purple is like the incredibly depressing movie.
Oh, yeah. It's extremely
depressing. So I was like, I don't know if I'm feeling that.
Yeah.
But then I watched the Tonys. And then the lady, Cynthia Erivo, did that song.
Yeah.
I was like, I was so upset. I was like, I cannot believe that I missed that. It is so, so good. And like, when I was in college, I was like really, really into musicals, right? So I was like watching a lot of her performances of that song. Mm-hmm. And like almost every time I would cry, I was like, this is
phenomenal.
Deserved that Tony.
Yes.
All right. There's A Star Is Born.
No, I like that movie. I thought it was fun.
Sure.
That's a musical?
It was considered a musical by Google. That's why I put it on there.
I feel like that's in the same area as...
Pitch Perfect,
where, like, they... And also, I would say maybe, like, Bohemian Rhapsody, where there's, like, we're making this song. Mm-hmm. Here's us performing it.
I personally wouldn't consider it a musical. But I do like it, because I'm a Lady Gaga stan. Since 2007.
I liked it as a movie. I just thought it was nice. I mean, the ending is not fun, but I don't know. I enjoyed it.
It's a better movie than I thought it was going to be. I'm not even going to lie.
Thought it was predictable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, they've remade it like
four times. Yeah, this is the fourth time.
So, my personal opinion. Okay, and then these are two animated movies. Mm. Then we're going to discuss the Disney movies.
Okay.
Yes. We have Sing. But because of your logic with the whole...
I've not seen that. I'm so sorry.
I think you would... Because you love trolls.
You love Sing.
Trolls is a musical.
It is. But hold on. Yeah. No, I mean, because you love trolls, I think you would love Sing, just because it's about a singing competition, and then you follow each of the characters on why they want to win this thing, and you get so invested in each character, and you want, literally at the end, I was like, who's gonna win? I want literally everyone to win.
I literally, no joke, this is when my, like, true obsession, not obsession, but, like, true love for Taron Egerton started, was because I heard him sing, and I think this is why he got Rocket Man. Mm-hmm. He was singing I'm Still Standing. And it wasn't even that one. It was the one he sings before that. I forgot what his audition piece is.
Yeah.
But I fucking started crying out of nowhere. And I was like, I barely cry when people sing, but it because like his character's supposed to be like super, super like humble and everything that. And he's not.
He's the little gorilla.
He's the gorilla. And then he's supposed to be this tough gorilla, and his dad's like a mobster and a criminal, so like he's not supposed to be a singer.
Yeah.
And he's singing, and it was just so emotional, and I started crying, and I was like, what the fuck? Just like, I'm too emotional for this movie. And then he sings I'm Still Standing, and I was like, what the fuck, here we go.
It's just a great movie. I loved all the performances. It's just fun. I think you'd like it, Victoria.
It's so much fun. I'll watch it.
It's a good time. I think you would love, but I don't know if you would consider Sing a musical, because they're singing because of a competition. Although Tori Kelly's character sings just to sing.
True.
She's the only one who sings just to sing.
She's Tori Kelly. Yeah. Her voice is phenomenal. Yes. But, and then also I think cartoon musicals, I don't know, feels different.
It feels different?
It feels different because...
There's a different vibe there.
Yeah, and then also when you're watching like a musical with like live people, you're in a certain reality. Mm-hmm. than you expect. Like, so if you're watching, like, a musical, you know, like, people singing out of nowhere, that's normal and it's not based in reality. For stuff in, like, Pitch Perfect, they're singing and that's, like, kind of based in reality.
Yeah.
For cartoon musicals, I feel like you are separated from reality completely. Yeah.
True.
That makes sense. And that's why I would consider...
Because I'm like, Trolls, yeah. The whole world is a musical.
Mm-hmm. So you would, yeah.
Yeah, so then they're both musicals.
Yeah.
Trolls. Trolls is the other one.
I love Trolls. Everybody watch Trolls 2017.
2017, I think 16, so.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So good.
Trolls World Tour. Literally
a shot of serotonin. You know what?
Yeah.
I love Trolls World Tour as well.
I'm glad it ruined the theater. No, I'm kidding. I'm not glad it ruined the theater business, but
I thought it was just funny that it did. I thought it was hilarious. And Universal's like, eh.
I loved it.
So, okay.
And then
cartoon musicals.
Yeah. And so then Disney. We're gonna Disney,
essentially.
Or the King. Kings. Well, there's the Prince of Egypt.
Oh my gosh. That
fantastic.
One, as a movie, period. It is phenomenal. Emily, I know you haven't seen it.
Have you seen it?
No, she has. I think you kind of don't really feel like watching it.
No.
That's fine. But at the same time, I really want you to watch it because cinematically, I think it is gorgeous. If you step away from it, you know, a lot of
people. The DreamWorks movie, right?
Yeah.
It is so good.
It is gorgeous. The people, there was so much care in that movie. I think that's why it's so good. And I listen to the soundtrack very often when I draw.
Just randomly.
Yeah, just randomly. And I'm reminded, I was like, these... Hebrew village people. They know how to party and go off. It's so much fun. And then he gets married. And then it's just, I think, as a musical, that one works so well. And there's a lot of emotion. I would say the scene where he talks to God at the burning bush gives me full body chills. Yeah. Even though there's no singing in it, the score for that movie, and specifically that scene, I can listen to, like, I actually have a Spotify playlist called Songs to Get Emotional To. That one is in that thing because it just feels so emotional.
Yeah.
And so I think that is so great.
Good. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Disney?
Yes. Well, I have a question.
No, yeah.
How many songs need to be in the movie for it to be considered a musical?
Gotta be more than two.
A handful, probably.
Yeah, because I mean, if it has just one song,
I mean, Trolls like doesn't have, like, a lot.
No, and then, because if you do just one, if you go by, if it just has one musical number in it, then you could do,
I was gonna say 500 Days of Summer would have considered.
I mean, that, or...
Well, no, he doesn't sing, he's lip singing.
But what's his name? He does Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller's Day of... John Hughes? You would count John Hughes movies as a musical, too.
No, they're but not those singing.
But they're not singing.
They are lip syncing to a song.
Okay.
I was like, that is different, because I was gonna say Emperor's New Groove, the opening... scene for is a musical scene, but it's only one.
That's not a musical.
No.
I think if you just have one song.
But I was like, that is a musical scene, though, that I enjoy thoroughly.
Yeah,
it's so also because I love that movie.
Yeah.
I ruined the Emperor's Groove. I threw off his groove. Sorry, I could. I watched the movie.
I think Disney movies are great. Like, the musicals that they have are great.
Enchanted is their best.
Enchanted is great.
Is their best.
Hercules.
Hercules.
We've discussed
one
this.
Of the best.
The best one. So good.
How do you rank those? How do you rank the, like, your Disney animated movies? Who's number one when it comes to musicals?
How can you beat the muses, though? I personally, for me, Hercules is number one, but it's only because it's my mom's favorite movie, so I've seen it, like, so many times growing up, and I watch it when I want to feel good to this day. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's just my personal favorite. Like, that's the one I'll choose over other ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean...
The first movie that comes to mind is Mulan. And Mulan, then the second movie that comes to mind... This is not a musical,
Mulan,
but the second...
Mulan is my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And that one is so good. But then also the second movie that comes to mind, even though this is not really a musical, is Tarzan. Because Phil Collins didn't have to go off, but he did anyways.
True.
He was like,
that's
just...
That's a beautiful soundtrack, but it's not a musical.
Yeah. And then the third one that comes to mind is Moana, but that's specifically because I love how much care they put into actually... putting in the effort of making their music, you know, like, true to its sources. So, like...
I was like, go thank Lin-Manuel Miranda then.
Yeah. Lin-Manuel Miranda. He does, and then, yeah,
a lot of... He takes a lot of care and a lot of research into mm-hmm. what he does.
We didn't even talk about...
Hamilton.
In the Heights,
either. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, In the Heights.
I watched a few years ago, I watched a like community production of In the Heights. So good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I can't wait for the movie to come out.
It looks fun. I'm excited. I like Moana because I love it because as a part Polynesian, specifically Hawaiian person,
yeah,
it means a lot to see stuff that was that, because if you go to Hawaii, a lot of people are like, you know, see the very westernized, very, you know,
yeah,
luau-y kind of version of Hawaii. But this movie made it look actually real,
mm-hmm.
like people actually living in it. And then even like making just the fabric of it, making the boats and how important, you know, the, you know, traveling across the oceans was. And also, this is the biggest thing, teaching, reintroducing, or just introducing in general, native languages to younger audiences, specifically people of those cultures. What was really cool about Moana is that they dubbed it in
yeah.
almost every single Polynesian culture and released it to those islands for younger people specifically, so they can learn their culture that it, and their language that is dying.
Yeah.
I think that is phenomenal, amazing. Most of the song, most of the lyrics that are said in the movie in the English one are Fijian and Samoan.
Is it because The Rock's Samoan?
It, he's maybe. Samoan, right? Yeah, yes. He is. Okay. No, yeah.
I was like, I didn't make that assumption, right?
I think that's more rooted in kind of like the anthropological history of the Polynesians, where it actually starts off in like New Zealand-ish. You could say New Zealand is kind of generally the where it starts, yeah. and then they go up into Samoa, Tahiti, or not Tahiti, Tahiti's on the other side, you know,
yeah, yeah.
all that stuff, and then Hawaii is actually the last one. That's why in the movie you actually see a lot of the stuff that you see on screen is actually mostly Samoan and New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like the base core of it all. I would argue that the movie is very Samoan.
Yeah.
Because of the outfits and the language. That's my assumption.
Those are your favorites?
Also, yeah. The song slap.
Yeah, the songs are fun. Yeah.
So shiny.
A lot of people, when I ask people, like, what song did you, like, what are your favorite songs? A lot of people actually take time to mention that they hated the shiny song.
And I was they like, don't like fun.
I was like, why?
I also love that that guy because in Rio he has a song.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking it's basically shiny.
Yeah.
But more villainous. He's more threatening.
Yeah.
He wants to poke. You know, kill these blue macaws.
Yeah. I also but think it's so Rio. Great. Yeah, I also think Rio is a great musical. I think that one's fun.
Rio's so much fun. In Rio. In Rio.
I haven't seen it once. God, sorry.
You've never seen Rio?
But just once. But it was like a very long time ago. I don't remember.
Oh, I love Rio. Rio's a good time. Movie. Rio's a great time.
What are your favorite Disney musicals? Disney ones?
Fuck.
Sorry, just real quick. Frozen the movie is like kind of, it's fine.
Yeah.
But the stage adaptation of Frozen, so good.
My beef with Frozen is this. I love Jonathan Groff.
Kristoff. Okay.
Kristoff, the voice of Kristoff. And for Frozen, they only gave him a minute song, basically. Mm-hmm. And I said, excuse me, this man is a angel and is a very talented man.
And a Broadway star.
Spring Awakening. Like, he's true. An angel. He can sing so well.
And you
gave him this?
Mm-hmm.
You gave him this?
Mm-hmm.
I was so mad. Because I was like, first of all, reindeers are better than people. And then he's not even, like, he's doing the play voice that he does, too.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, fuck you, I'm so mad. And then I had to wait for Frozen 2 for them to give him the joke song that they give him for that one. And I was like, I still love it, and I will still listen to it, because it's still a bop. But I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But everybody, when they watched Hamilton, when they watched it live, like, not the live, but the recorded version on Disney Plus, they were like, oh, this is why you love him. And I was like, because he's great!
I've not seen Spring Awakening, but I heard it's very good. Like, it's a very popular musical.
Yeah. But, like, because for me, with him, it's the first thing that I saw him in singing was Glee.
Ah,
Jesse yes. St. James.
Jesse Saint, yeah, he's mm-hmm. Jesse St. James.
I totally forgot. St.
James. And I'm just like, him singing that in that.
He's just so good. He's such a good singer.
And I was like, Disney, how dare you underutilize his voice? He has such a pretty voice. And I'm like, he does. You he has very nice mm-hmm. voice. Gave Josh Gad so much to do and him nothing. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever.
Okay.
But what's your favorite? You still haven't answered my question.
I don't fucking know, actually. I have a really hard time picking my favorites.
It's fine. I mean, I picked like three, four. Four.
Because like Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
Is a. But like Tangled is also. Like,
it's true.
Is
that's
also.
True.
Because I love Mandy Moore and Zachary
like,
Levi.
Remember the other day you were like, oh yeah, Tangled turned 10 today. And I was like, what? I was shook.
Yeah, it's an old movie now.
Those are very good though. Back to back too, right?
Yeah.
2009, 2010. Mm-hmm.
And then what else is there? God, would Brave be considered a musical? They only have like two songs.
No, I feel like that's in the same category as Tarzan.
She does sing it, however.
I was like, they sing like two songs, but that's it.
But no, not really. I don't think.
I was like,
I don't think
songs
you would go into Brave.
No. Thinking it's a musical.
Yeah, no. Or like expecting to watch a musical and you're like, I'll watch Brave.
Yeah,
like,
no. But that one, also the songs are really nice.
That's true, that's true.
It's just really hard to pick. God damn. Because you can't also like not ignore the originals.
True.
And think about any of those because I fall asleep to those.
God, Sleeping Beauty and The Little Mermaid. Those put me to sleep, not in a bad way, but like in a, I'm so familiar with it, I'm just like comforted, if that makes sense.
I like The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping Beauty, I have a very big soft spot for Sleeping Beauty because it's the movie I watched the most on VHS as a kid.
Mm.
I would literally just put it and then rewind it.
And was the sound of music.
Put it back on because I don't know why it was. I think, no, I do know why. One, I love Prince Philip.
Mm.
And two, Maleficent turned.
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
I thought we were talking about Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, we went Sleeping Beauty, not Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, shit. I thought you were thinking about, like, Beauty and the Beast.
Well, you said Sleeping Beauty, woman.
I picked
the right movie.
I love Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty is great.
That used to be my favorite movie for a very, very long time.
It was, and also, Mary Blair, is that her name?
Yes.
Mary Blair, amazing artist. I know we're not talking about art, but
yeah.
Great music. Not music. great visuals.
Yeah.
You know, that and also Cinderella.
Yeah. Maleficent turns into a dragon.
Fantastic.
I think that's why. Because I didn't particularly like the princesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, they were all stupid.
I like her because she's asleep like half the movie.
Yeah, that's why. I was like, she has 16 lines and then... she only has 16 lines in the movie, and most of it is literally Prince Philip and
Maleficent.
Yeah. Like, that's the bulk of the movie, and I'm like, and the fairies.
And the fairies.
And I'm like, that's what I'm here for. I'm mm-hmm. here for this. I'm here for a good time.
Not a long time.
But then, like, part of me is like, do I pick Aladdin? Because that's, my middle name is literally Jasmine because of Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't
she
know.
She does slap.
I don't, and I also, I had a crush on Steve from Full House, and he's the voice of Aladdin. He is not the singing voice, he's the voice of Aladdin.
Huh. Do you remember back in the day when they did that a lot, where...
Yes. Because they would get a well-known actor to be the voice,
mm-hmm.
and then an actual singer to be the singer.
I mean, that's the entire
High School Musical?
Oh, only for one, only for Zach.
And they had Drew Seeley.
But that's also
because he was going through puberty at the time, and his voice sounded gross. Like, so they were like, yeah, no, we're not going to have you do it.
One of my friends, when she saw The Greatest Showman, you know, after she was done, and I asked her, oh, how was it? And she was just like, I totally forgot that Zac Efron is actually a decent singer.
Yeah.
Like, because she totally forgot he was in High School Musical. And then she watched this and she was like, oh, I actually like his voice a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
not a bad singer.
No, he's not. I like his voice. It's very
It when you find surprise singers
mm-hmm.
when you watch like a movie musical, which is why like when I saw Into the Woods and I actually got to hear Chris Pine sing, I was mm-hmm. just like, oh, this is why you're one, the best Chris. And she, like, I fell more in love with him because I was just like, yes, yes, of course. What else can't this man do?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I like it when you're surprised by somebody and you're like, you know what? You can sing really well. Like the guy who plays in Into the Woods, because he's Prince Charming The other one's Prince Charming too, but he's Aurora. So he's Prince Philip.
Yeah.
I'm going to use Disney's name for him.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Philip. He's in...
Billy something with an M.
Yeah.
That's like really long.
Was it Sleeping Beauty or is it Rapunzel?
Rapunzel.
Sorry.
Whoops, Rapunzel. Yes. Yeah. He is Rapunzel.
Rapunzel's prince.
I don't...
Flynn Rider.
I was going to say Flynn Rider. I was like, that is not the name that he would actually have.
But he's
Prince Charming is what they call him.
Yeah.
But he's like, I know him from like as a comedy actor, not as a singer. So I was just like, you can sing too. Look at you. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a pleasant surprise when it's somebody that you didn't expect to be a singer. Yeah. I just think that's fun.
Yeah.
Obviously there's some that like you with Russell Crowe with Les Mis. Who do you think is worse? Is it Gerard Butler, the one that you don't
like? Oh my god, I remember the Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, I was like,
was the worst.
So.
No, he's the worst.
Okay. Gerard Butler, yeah.
First of all, I hate the movie. I mean, this could be just because I watched the best one first, which was the Royal Albert Hall version. That is by far the best Phantom of the Opera. And then I watched the movie. It is shit. The entire way through.
It is so boring.
It is boring. The actors suck. They suck at acting. And everyone's singing.
Trash.
You know what musical we forgot to mention? Sweeney Todd.
I've not seen it.
I like Sweeney Todd. I think it's fun in a gothic horror comedy way.
Yeah.
I think I saw it. At the, again, our local troupe back in Phoenix. They did a great job. Oh, I also saw Spamalot, which is a musical. It's a musical version of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I cackled so much. It was almost, like, really embarrassing because I couldn't stop laughing. So if you guys want a good comedy, Spamalot is fun. But yeah, I think Sweeney Todd is fun in a dark way.
There's plenty of movie musicals out there, if that's your cup of tea.
What do you think? I mean, we already kind of have a look into future movie musicals, which are just kind of movie versions of Broadway plays.
Yeah.
You know, like In the Heights and West Side Story.
Well, Wicked, supposedly.
West Side Story, it was just... the only reason why they're redoing it is because that's a passion project for Steven Spielberg. Because he loves West Side Story so much. So
yes,
he's like, I want to do my own version. So that's the only reason why they're doing it again. It's not because like they're like, oh, let's make another West Side Story. It's just because he's like, I really want to make one. And
why not?
You know what? Why the fuck not?
I don't think he's done
a musical. Mm-mm. Steven Spielberg hasn't done a...
Because it might have been... I think he did. It might have been a cartoon.
Oh, well, I mean like...
Like a musical.
Oh, like a musical.
Like a live musical. Action one. Yeah.
With people. With people.
Yeah. I just wonder what
trajectory.
What trajectory that we're going in regards to musicals.
Because there's always a resurgence whenever there's a really depressing time of musicals, as you can tell with like film history, because they go in waves. So I think we're in a resurgence right now because people are trying to find light because we've overextended the war movies, and people also with what's going on in the world right now, people need to be happy in some sort of way. So I think movie musicals will bring their way back. I don't know if it'll just be remakes or if they will just pick popular Broadway shows and redo them. Or if there's talented people, if maybe Damien works with somebody else who's a little bit better at writing music.
And there's like an original one or something.
Like maybe he works with Lin-Manuel Miranda. I don't know if those are two chaotic energies. But, trying to make something
new.
Sure,
sure, yeah.
Because there's been, like, ideas, like Baby Driver, even though it's not a musical, but it's a movie that incorporates music really, really well. Even with, Rocket Man.
Yeah.
It's a movie musical. Like, there are ways to do it, and I think people are finding... They're finding their niches, and they're just like, let's do it. And then animated movies have always done it. And then even though Frozen 2 didn't do as well as Frozen 1 in the grand scheme of, like, none of those songs beat Let It Go.
Yeah.
None of them did.
Yeah.
They really wanted to, but I was like, no, bro.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't, not even when they wanted to make Moana. Like, true. None of those could hit what that did. True. I'm sorry. It was just a one.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah.
It was just like a freak accident. It just kind of, it was a movie that you didn't expect to be that good, and it just happened to be that good. Mm-hmm. Shit happens.
Yeah.
So they'll, I think we'll get more. Hopefully there'll be like original ideas sprinkled in there, but I don't know if there'll be a lot.
I mean, the latest musical we saw was Over the Moon.
Yeah.
On Netflix. As a movie, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
And we all sobbed at the end because it has to. The movie, the message of the movie is, you know, grief. And if a loved one passes away, how to deal with that grief, especially if it is a loved one extremely near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
That's why we were all sobbing. And my one critique on it as a musical, just from a musical standpoint, kind of boring. Yeah. It has one bop, and that is the Moon Goddess's intro. But then again, after I was done listening to it, I forgot it immediately. That's my only thing for it. Because I feel like they kind of half-assed the music. They're just like, oh, we need to make it a musical because kids will watch musicals.
Yeah.
I feel like the movie would have been totally fine without the music. It would have been great without the music.
Yeah.
I thought the music was kind of boring, and I actually, at one point I was thinking, like, can you guys stop singing? I'm kind of over it at the moment. No. I think it's easier to kind of project. We'll get a lot of musicals from animated musicals sooner than we'll get live action musicals.
Yeah. They're remaking, they're making it into a live action movie, Lilo and Stitch, which, not a musical, but music is very heavily incorporated into that movie because, like, Elvis Presley is very near and dear to Lilo.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I wonder if they'll change it into a musical.
Do the exact opposite of what they're doing with the other ones, like Hercules, where they're taking out the music.
Yeah.
Weird. And Mulan. Yeah. God.
Oh, God. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we talked about it already.
Oh, yeah. But I actually think it could be... If put in the right hands, I think Lilo and Stitch as a musical could be very, you know, poignant. Mm-hmm. Because, again, music is a very important thing to Hawaiian culture specifically, because that's how we share our stories and our culture and our history. Because
I was like, Nani sings her the song when they're on the...
I know that song.
Yeah. And then the cool thing about Lilo and Stitch as a movie, even though, you know, aside from the Elvis songs, which actually got me obsessed with Elvis as a kid, was that the two Hawaiian songs, well, I'm not going to count Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride, because that's literally, if a white American choir wants to sing a Hawaiian song, they will choose Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride because they don't have to try any. They don't have to try.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's just my thing there. But,
yeah, because it's only the beginning that's in.
No, the beginning, the opening song and the song.
No, but I meant like the
beginning. Oh, yeah, the opening song is completely in Hawaiian. And
I got you. See, the beginning of that song.
Oh, is in Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the rest of I get it now. But the two Hawaiian songs that they actually have in there are so poignant, and I think they did that on purpose, because the opening song, roughly translated, is just an homage, a praise of King... Oh my God, why is it... David...
Oh, never mind.
David Kalakaua. Oh my gosh. King Kalakaua, who is the king that actually decriminalized hula.
Okay.
And he is known as the Renaissance, king.
Yeah.
He brought back... He made sure that his people did not lose their culture. And also, the song that Nani sings was written by the last reigning queen, you know, Queen Liliuokalani, about, you know, I think her people. Her people, yeah. And then it just, you know, the heartbreak that she's seeing, you know, of her country being taken from her. And it's really sad. And so... You know, I feel like, put in the right hands, I feel like a musical live action of Lilo and Stitch could actually be really good and really heartfelt.
Yeah, that's what I was like, I wonder if they'll do it. Because I was like, you know, they really could, because it was, unless they want to pay that money again. Okay. And then, yeah, no. Movie musicals exist, and they will always be relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go listen to them.
Yeah.
Go have fun. We are Pop and Circumstance. I'm Eva. You can follow me at Eva_Vivamart on Twitter and at Vivamart on Instagram. You can find a collective of us at Pop and Stance on both Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook, just look up Pop and
Circumstance.
Yes, there we go. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's the other part of our name?
Yes.
I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at the Emily Garan.
I'm Victoria. You can find me at Chubby Pink Kirby on Twitter.
Please never change it. It's so good.
Yeah.
All right, so go
enjoy some music.
Yeah. And also be nice.
And wear a mask. Keep your distance.
Please. Be safe. And yeah, that's it. Okay.
Bye.